Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Eric. What's up?
How much? Do you want to record an episode of Pain Shuffling?
I would love to.
Cool. Let's start a couple seconds ago. We've just time traveled. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Train Shuffling. We're still here. We don't have the coronavirus. We're alive. Is that off-topic humor? Maybe.
That's fine.
It's fine. How's it going, man?
It's going. You know, shit's been weird, right?
Shit has been very weird. Yeah, so you may have noticed a bit of a gap in our content production. If you are following along with the podcast, sorry about that. Stuff got pretty crazy. My and Johnny's schedules shifted dramatically. I'm doing work. I'm going into work at like 6 p.m. and work until 11 o'clock. And my wife is working from home and both of my daughters are home and we're getting one of them through school. So life's been pretty hectic. So apologies for that. It's sort of settled a tiny bit here. And Johnny and I, our schedules finally lined up because he's working nights and weekends as well. So it's kind of crazy, but we're here.
Lately, because everybody else's schedules have shifted so much at work, I'm finding myself doing random hours throughout the week just to make sure that people aren't waiting like a week for something from me because we aren't aligned and stuff like that. So yeah, it's been strange.
Unpredictable. Hard to schedule a podcast recording, but we're available. We determined to make this happen. Sorry for the absence. Additionally, we haven't been playing a whole lot of 18XX because of the crazy amount of schedule shift. And it's just more fun for, I think, both of us, right, Johnny, to play in person.
Yeah. You know, I don't dislike playing online. I find it very difficult to keep up with it, with everything else going on in life. Whereas when we sit down at the table, it's my sole focus. So I always feel like I'm slowing games down. Well, I know I'm slowing games down and it just takes away something from the experience. So I'm finding that I'm not sure I'm cut out for the online.
Especially asynchronous is what you're talking about specifically,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, synchronous online is fun. Yes. I've had fun times with that and I'm pretty excited to try the new 18xx.games website that Toby put out. We're going to talk about that in a second if you haven't heard about it. But outside of that, yeah, synchronous games, I don't know, we just don't jam. We tried it. I sort of learned some new games through it and always just ended up having a much better time in person. So yeah, we haven't played a whole lot. Schedule's crazy. End of excuse, I think, at that point.
Yeah. Oh, and I will just say, as you will notice, we are going to forego our normal, extremely clever train themed structure of this show. And we're just gonna talk about some 18x news and shoot the shit a little bit and just get you guys something out there. But yeah, it's not gonna follow our normal structure, so sorry about that for anybody that's in love with it.
Yeah, I'm sure that everyone's gonna be really sad.
Yeah.
We did, however, have a couple of things that we wanted to mention at the start of the episode. We had one answer to our listener question from last episode, a lonely answer about how are you dealing with gaming needs in the times of COVID? And Remco emailed us and he said, to answer the listener question of episode 10, I've gotten recently heavily into PNP to be able to do something with 18XX. I've got all the equipment and got working and I'm starting with 18TE. Eisenbahnen im Tecklenburgerland. Wow. I don't know
Excellent.
But I've gotten a few other games in reserve. This includes JC's 1828 and 43, but the set of five Trax PNP kits recently released by Tony Fryer of Wheel Tapping is also really cool. Yeah. That we forgot to list that under our little news section. This should keep me sane during these days. Looking forward to your next episode. Thanks for the answer, Remco. Yeah, PNP is a pretty good way to pass the time. What have you been doing during these times to keep sane?
So I've been playing a little bit of Shobu with my fiance Marlena. And
is that the game with the rocks and the
rope? Yeah, it is. And I'm a very amateur at woodworking, as you know. You're obviously pretty talented at it. After playing it, and I really enjoy it, and I would like to, it seems like a very, very simple project. I'd like to remake the boards out of like some sort of exotic wood or something, just because it's cool. I think it'd be cool. But it's a really fun game. It takes like 10 or 15 minutes to play around. Marlena beat me once, and then I think I beat her once the other day. And yeah, it's just a cool game. It's really, really simple. It seems like one of those games that's very easy to learn, but there's probably people that have really excellent strategies, and we're kind of just moving rocks around with not a whole lot of strategy.
Yeah, I've seen it. It looks beautiful. But I haven't really, it's one of those things that we have a handful of short 15-minute abstract-y games at our house, and they get a little love for a bit, and then they kind of sit around.
Yeah, so. I think I have maybe too many of those, like Battle Line and Targi, and a few others, and we like them all, but they all get a little bit of love because we have so many in rotation. So,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, same. I started actually another, I don't even know if I mentioned this or if we mentioned this last time, but I started a little side podcast project because one of the games that I play solo is Arkham Horror, the card game. It's a LCG living card game by Fantasy Flight. And my wife and I play that as a duo often, but it's a really good solo game. So all of a sudden, since there's an absence of players to play the game with, besides my wife and I, who are still continuing our campaigns, I've been playing it solo. So I decided to just record it because I have the recording equipment, and I've been posting that. And there's a weird, there's a surprising crossover of 18XX and Arkham Horror card game players I'm finding. So if you play that game and you want to listen to me talk into a microphone about me playing Arkham Horror, you can do so. The podcast is called Whispers in Your Head. And I have, I think, four games that I recorded and put out there. And I just kind of record the game and put it up online. The first couple episodes, I did some editing and sound effects and stuff, but I'm dropping that and just making it easy. So
it was surprising to me. You know, obviously we discovered this through our Discord channel, that I was surprised at how many people that came to our Patreon for 18XX that play Arkham. Was surprising to me.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people in there who are like, oh yeah, I play, and you should play this guy. And I was like, what? You're one of the train heads. Like, what are you talking about? You don't play these other card games, do you? But turns out there are all sorts of train game players. And besides that, we got a Nintendo Switch, and I've been playing the crap out of that. Keeping me sane, keeping my wife sane, who is a long time not video game player. And I got her Breath of the Wild, and like, I can't get a minute of gaming in edgewise with her. She's like, every opportunity, she's grabbing the Switch and running off to the porch and playing Breath of the Wild.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. But now I want a second Switch, and they're like $500 on eBay.
Yeah, right now. Now I'm lucky because I as you know, have a Switch as well, and it kind of sat dormant for a while. I kind of fell out of love with video gaming, or so I thought. And then you and all the other people in our Discord started talking about video games, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll pick it up again and give it a shot. And now I'm kind of like getting into my, you know, old obsessive self. So I've been playing quite a bit. And Marlena plays more video games than I do, or at least did up until a few weeks ago. But she's more into the PS4, so we don't really have a conflict for time on the systems. Yeah. Also, our schedules are so offset from each other that we're not usually playing when we're both home.
Yeah. Yeah. So Johnny and I have been dabbling in some Diablo 3 occasionally, and I've been playing Hollow Knight, and recently got Stardew Valley for my wife for Mother's Day. But it turns out that I'm just playing that right now because she's engrossed in Breath of the Wild. So those are fun. All good stuff. So should we talk about some train things?
Yeah.
Got some little bit of news.
Actually, quite a bit of news.
Yeah, it's been about, we took some time, and things keep moving. So as Remco mentioned, Tony Fryer had developed a bunch of P&P kits. I think they were all, or I don't know if they're all or most of them are sort of 1846 Winsome-ish kind of games, where if you own 46, you can print them and use the tile, like reuse the tiles from that game and the trains from that game, or you can print the games themselves. I know they at least include 18 LA. There's a Denver one. Let's see, where's the list? 18 Los Angeles, 18 Grand Junction is the Denver one, 1888, 1883 Express de Orient. I'm sure that's exactly how you pronounce it. Is that it? Just those games? No. yeah, so those are all available for I think it's $20. Oh, Great Plains, 18 Tracks, 2020 is the other one. So you pay $20 and you get the download files and you can print and play those games. So that is awesome. I have LA printed up, but haven't got an opportunity to play it quite yet.
The whole kit or LA?
Just LA.
Okay.
I've been, I email Tony periodically, and this was maybe two or three months ago. He actually sent me the files for LA to try, and I printed it up, but again, haven't gotten a chance to get it to the table quite yet. Mm-hmm. So yeah, check those out. Those are over on tracks with two X's -denver.com/games. So.
Yep. And, update on 1833 NE. The P500 count is up to 744. And I know unofficially they say about 900 is where it actually gets sent to the printers. So,
yeah, I think that's the art was, in the art department was still working on the art for that game and they've kind of reduced staff. So things are up in the air, but keep it going strong. Keep those orders going in. It's a good game. 18DO, the Kickstarter for that is on May 18th, right?
Yep.
We're recording this on the 13th. So that's 5 days away. It's Monday, May 18th.
Yep. And hopefully, I don't know if it will be ready in time for the actual launch of the Kickstarter, but within the first week of the Kickstarter, I will have out an overview video. I do have a prototype, so it won't be final components, but I'll just go over a little bit about what 18DO is all about so that people that are interested in backing it can see it. And we were going to do an actual playthrough, and our scheduled game was like the week that everything got locked down.
Yeah, we were all ready to go. And I was like, this COVID thing, like I can still go play 18XX, right? And then like in like the 3 days leading up to it, I was like, oh no. Oh, it's really okay. I can't.
And we talked about trying to do something remote where I'm moving components and people are telling me what they want to do. And we were going to do that as well, but then the schedules just got all crazy. And so that's just unlikely to happen in time for the Kickstarter. So we'll do the overview video and hopefully, down the line, we'll get a playthrough out. Unfortunately, not in time for people to use it to make a decision on the Kickstarter, but it looks like an awesome game. So hopefully between the overview and all the information that Wolfram posts up on the Kickstarter page, that'll be enough to let you know if you want it or not.
Yep. And 1840 Vienna by none other than Lonnie Orgler had a Kickstarter, and that just finished up and funded today with 673 backers and $51,302. That it got funded at, and it just barely made the wooden token stretch goal, I believe.
Yeah, so there were, 1, 2, 3, 4. There were 8 stretch goals on the table, and 6 of them were achieved. Oh, actually, sorry. There was 7, really, because the first one was just funded. So there will be paper money, which I doubt most people care about.
No one cares.
Yeah, there'll be a 3. So he did reorder the stretch goals because people said, hey, these are more important to us. Let's get these higher up on the list. And Lonnie was really accommodating and went and reordered them. So we got paper money, 3-player map, a revenue track board, a 2-player map overlay, and the wooden tokens. The 2 that were missed were player aids and a mounted board for shares.
Yeah, so, those 2 do not matter.
Yeah, yeah. I think what the getting the player map, the 3-player map, and the 2-player overlay, and the wooden tokens for me would be the most important.
Yeah, I love Lonnie's 2 and 3-player variants, like CZ and 24. Having those just makes those games so much more viable. Like, you get together with three people. Well, okay, let's just play with a variant. And it feels like a great game. At least it did with 24. And I know I've had a lot of fun with CZ two player and no, just two player.
And even, I mean, 18 Lilliput, obviously it's not a full 18XX, but that worked really well at two also. He's got a knack for designing games that play well at the full player count, but still scale well for 2 to 3 player variants.
Yeah. Yeah. So props to Lonnie on that. Further news. Wow. Just, man, so many games. 1822 was, so actually out of order. All Aboard Games just recently shipped 18 Chesapeake, 18 Mex, and 1817, which is their first three games in their mass production, like first go, their first round of mass production titles. Johnny and I, between the two of us, have all three of those games. I ordered Chesapeake and Mex, and Johnny got the big boy.
Yep. It just came in today. I have not opened it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got my two copies yesterday. So I cracked Chesapeake and punched it and stickered it, but Mex is still sealed. The quality is excellent. Pretty excited about it. It looks very pretty too. I'm pretty excited about trying Chesapeake. Like, when we get back into it as like a remember how to play these games game, because it's designed for that. And I know a number of people who never played an 18XX were, you know, they hopped on the bandwagon when this happened to somebody in our Discord who I've been kind of trying to dangle the carrot and be like, you should try and play these. They're really good. He poked his head into our 18XX discussion channel and was asking about intro titles and then ordered Chesapeake, because a number of these copies are still available, I think, until...
Yeah, on that note, so there was... I don't know the exact wording of the post, but I guess the Scott's plan for distribution of these games has changed a little bit, and he's ended up sending the extra copies that he had to distributors in the US and I think maybe abroad as well. But it sounds like if you want to get copies of these games, order them soon, because it may be a while longer than expected originally for another wave. So,
right. Yeah. With global supply chain issues and stuff. But he posted a little like projected times until each game sells out, and there might be some inaccuracies because of an initial rush. But I think he had like 1817 and Mex selling out in August by those projections. And then like quite a bit earlier is Chesapeake. So check them out. They're cool. And what's left? Oh, 18xx.games, which we mentioned earlier, a new website for playing 18xx online synchronously and asynchronously. It looks beautiful. Right now he has 1889 implemented. It's the only game he has implemented right now. And next game that he has currently in the works is Chesapeake, and more to come after that.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. I think having a really, you know, full-featured, robust way to play online is really good for the hobby.
Yeah, and he's been very active, like asking for features and bug reports and fixing things, and he's been going nuts with it. So
we had actually other AAG news that we should have lumped in with the others. Scott also signed a deal with Mark Voyer for 1882, so he will be printing that, and those are available for pre-order at the moment. I know I placed a pre-order. I don't know if those are still open or how long they're open for, but yeah, that one's the next one coming. So it looks like a very cool game.
You got another present in the mail too, right?
I did. Yes, I got my Iron Clays from Roxley Games. They're they're poker chips, and I got the 400.
They're game counters, Johnny.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, they're game counters. Yeah, they call them game counters. I don't know why. But I got the 400 game counter set. And it's really nice. It comes in a nice, sturdy cardboard box. The chips are pretty good quality. I love the way they look. Yeah, overall, I'm very happy with them. I already knew that the quality was good because I had the brass set and an extra 100 count set. So I actually did the fill out set, which worked out really well. So now I've got a bunch of chips that I'm not going to play with for a while.
You can just stare at them longingly and, you know, pick them up and shuffle them.
I'll get really good at like chip shuffling tricks.
Oh no. How big of a bank can you make You have
it's about a 50,000. I think it's about a $50,000 bank. And actually, it's more than that because I'm not keeping all the $2,000 chips in there because it's just overkill.
Okay.
What I'm keeping in the box would get me up to about 48,000, I think.
Wow.
Way more than I'll ever need.
Yeah. Although, isn't, I guess spreadsheets would come into play, but isn't 1800E like a ridiculously big bank?
I don't know off the top of my head. But yeah, like you said, I think we'd probably use a spreadsheet by the time we got to the really big numbers. I mean, even in the shorter games, we're getting more used to using spreadsheets partway through. So I doubt I will crack into a large percentage of the chips.
$54,000 bank in 1800E.
Okay. So I grab a couple of the 2000s I pulled out of there and I'd be good.
Yeah. Not bad. Not bad. I don't think my chipset covers OE. I had to throw in a couple of like extra 5,000 chips that don't match my set because of it. I mean, okay. Again, not that I ever think that, oh no, we won't be able to play OE because my chipset doesn't cover it, but.
Yeah. Then you just start writing, you know, rip a piece of paper up and write 5,000 on it or whatever.
Yeah. Use Sharpie and write on your forehead.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the news.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, right. I'm so lost without our structure.
I know.
We already did the next, what we normally do next is lay tokens, and we already talked about what we've been doing and playing. So I
did actually have something, a topic that I wanted to, you know, we don't have recent plays to discuss, but I thought maybe it might be a fun time to talk about other board games, because this has been a topic of discussion recently on groups.io of like what our other favorite board games are and why we like them, maybe a little bit more about us as people.
Yeah,
sure. We never really did like a, you know, getting to know us episode.
Yeah. You want to start?
Sure. Your favorite game? My name's Eric, and I like to play board games. And my favorite non-18XX games are a couple of card games, I think. I made like a formal list, but I'm just going to kind of go off the cuff. So I have two other podcasts, and they're both about Fantasy Flight living card games. One is The Meek Informant, which is about Legend of the Five Rings. We've mentioned it before. That's a living card game about mystical samurai in an imaginary Asiatic place. It's pretty good. It's a two-player competitive card game. And the other is Arkham Horror, the card game. And I've already talked about that this episode. It's your investigators in the H.P. Lovecraft realm and investigating horrible things and going insane and fighting monsters. And that is fun. Besides those games, I think top of my list off the top of my head are a lot of splatter spelling games. The Great Zimbabwe, the other ones, The Great Zimbabwe, Indonesia. I have not played Roads and Boats. I love Food Chain Magnate. I have Antiquity, which I've played only once, but really enjoyed that. So splatter, Arkwright is fantastic. Again, only played that once or one and a half times. It's very, very good, but haven't really found a whole lot of time to play that.
I just bought a copy of that recently.
Oh, you did?
Excellent. Yeah, it's been, it's like one of my favorite games after playing it with you. And it's been on the top of my wish list, but I haven't bought it because we have only played yours once. And I'm like, why do I need a copy? But they seem to be becoming more scarce. So I just decided I found a good deal on one. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to go for it.
Nice.
It's in the shrink wrap still.
I need to go open my game cabinet so I can look at them. I always need to do this. Hold on. All right. I have closed game cabinets. It's a deal with my wife that I can fit whatever is in the cabinets downstairs, but if they ever overflow, then I need to start getting rid of them. Quickly scanning Tigris and Euphrates, Cosmic Encounter, Feast for Odin, Irish Gauge, but that's cheating, right? Cube Rails.
Forbidden Stars?
Forbidden Stars. I do enjoy Forbidden
Stars.
Like that
it is anymore.
Not. I do like it. It is not one of the games that I like am frothing at the mouth to play, though. Agricola. Yeah, those are the games.
Cool. That was a lot. You listed a lot of games.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, list out. That's the general feel for who I am game-wise.
Yeah. So, all right, who am I game-wise? Let's see. My favorite non-18XX game would probably be Arkwright, maybe tied with Forbidden Stars. I love Forbidden Stars, but I think that's also because I tend to do well in it, and I like games that I can win. So,
John, how many games have the two of us played Forbidden Stars?
I think the two of you have played, let me see, 11. So I've played 11 times. I think 9 of those were with you.
Yeah. And I've never won. And I think Johnny's won like 90%
of our games. I think I've won. So let's see. I've played 11 times. I've won 8 of them. And that doesn't count the one that you and Kanag and I started and haven't finished that I probably would win.
I've played this game 8 times, and yeah, not including that, and I've lost every time. And you've won 75% of the games. Okay. So yeah, I don't know. It's just something about your brain in that game. It's quite good, and I have a hard time because in that game, if you're not familiar, you have to lay these order tokens face down. You put your last order down first. In the stack anyway, and then your next order goes on top of that, and you resolve them from the top down. So you have to be thinking about, like, okay, what do I want to do in this entire turn of the game? And then let me work backwards from the end. So the last thing I want to do is fight someone. And so the thing before that is that I want to go build up an army. And the thing before that is I want to get some money. And then you got to put down the fight token first. And then the build up the army, and then the get the money.
And then the other aspect too is that if somebody has a token on top of yours, you can pull up any available token. So any token that you have on the board that is at the top of a stack can be your next token. So you don't necessarily have to play them in the order that you place them, or in the reverse order that you place them. So you can put a token on the top of a stack and leave it there until the end and stop people from taking actions. So one of the things I think about when I'm planning my actions I try to plan a sequence of moves that can't be disrupted, or that if somebody does disrupt something, that I have a backup plan, or maybe do something that looks like something I would be worried about somebody covering up to entice them to do it or whatever. So there's so many things that you're not just thinking about how to reverse the order of your tokens, but also what can be disrupted and things like that. So
yeah, and there's mind games to play, and yeah, negotiating with, like, don't fight me, fight him, that kind of stuff. Yeah, Forbidden Stars. Oh, there's also Pipeline, which I've only played once, but I think I really like Doom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for me, Forbidden Stars and Arkwright, and looking over at my shelves, I'm a big fan of Vital Lacerda games. So yeah. I've got Lisboa is very high up on my list, and Vinos as well. Tigris and Euphrates I like a lot. Age of Steam, Twilight Imperium.
I didn't open my third cabinet that has all my Vital games in it, so I forgot about those.
Yeah. So Brass is one of their Splatter. Obviously, I'm a huge Splatter fan. Bus is fantastic. My favorite Splatter is probably the Great Zimbabwe. But it's really hard to say between that and Food Chain Magnate. And what else?
Terra Mystica, right?
Terra Mystica. Oh, yeah, because that's not on my shelf. That's my basement is a total mess right now. I have games in bags, games on tables, games under tables, games on shelves. I have games that I've sold some expansions to that are opened because I had to take the expansions out of the main box. It's awful right now. Luckily, the basement is all mine, so Marlena doesn't really care.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, but it's a disaster down here.
Come back to the microphone.
Oh, and Root. Oh, yeah. So Root also is. I'm a big fan of Root.
Yeah. So question for you: Where does Container fall on your like enjoyment list?
Having only played it once, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good game, but I also think that you need the right group of people because it's so player driven.
Yeah.
You know, there's no arc that the game is forcing you through. Like there are in other games like Root and things like that, where you have, you know, I mean, the games can play out differently, but they're in a, if I don't know how to explain what I'm saying, but you probably understand where I'm going, where games kind of push you through a certain.
Right. This container is totally up to the players.
Yeah. It's like playing in a sandbox.
Right. What do you want to do this game? Are you going to build a million machines? Or are you just going to buy all the stuff? Or, you know, is there going to be anything to buy? Because everyone wants to buy stuff.
Well, and the value, I think the biggest thing that makes it sandboxy is that the value of things is totally dependent on what the players do. There's no like, this card is a very valuable card in this game.
It's all relative
to this location. Yeah.
Other players' perception of worth for goods and, you know.
Right. And I think that makes it very group dependent. And we played it with kind of an interesting group where it was you and me and Marlena, who, those of you that don't know, is my fiance, and our friend Chris. And I think it was just the four of us?
Yeah, it was the four of us.
And Marlena she actually won handily and said she had no idea what was going on the whole game. So I think that was a kind of a weird first experience because of that, like her kind of making random decisions that ended up being really, really good. Or she says that sometimes, but I think she probably had a plan in mind.
I mean, she knew mechanically what was going on, but she didn't have like a grand strategy that was like, ah, I see how to win. She just did something that worked out well for her, I think.
Yeah, she's very tactical in games. She does not like to try it. She does not like to have to come up with her entire game plan at the beginning.
Right.
And then try to keep course correcting and make sure that that's on track. She very much likes for it to get to her turn and her to look at her options and decide what the best thing is to do. And she's really good at that. But, you know, there are certain games that she won't play because of the strategy that's required. So yeah, she ended up winning that game, and I would like to play it again without her, to be honest, because I don't think she's really into it. I want to play that with a group of people who really like that style of game.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So I have a question that's not related to our favorite non-18XX board games. Are you kind of near the end of your list there?
Yeah. I mean, I could list off every game on my shelf, but that would take a while.
Yeah.
I like Aquasphere a lot. And that's still in the shrink wrap.
Nice. Aquasphere. Yeah. Johnny and I both got that for like $17 a piece because it was on Uber sale. That's a Stefan Feld point salad. You're living underwater game. And it's fun. Little octopuses.
We don't play it much. I think that is a fantastic game. I think it's a very underrated game of his, but I think it's really overshadowed by Castles of Burgundy and Notre Dame, which are obviously more popular.
Yeah. So the question, since, you know, we should probably try and talk about trains, is what is the game when we get to get back together? What's the first XX that you are going to want to play? Are you going to want to get back into something more like familiar to get a baseline again? Or you like have a game that you're like, oh, I really want to play this outside of, you know, any obligations that we have for review copies and stuff like that?
So yeah, with not including obligations to review copies or whatever, I think 44. 44, 44 or 80.
Nice.
I don't know that those will be our first games back to, you know, because they're longer, obviously. But in terms of what I would want to get to the table, probably one of those two.
Yeah.
Obviously, I love 1880 and I've only played 44 once, but I had, despite the fact that I came in a distant last, I had a blast playing 44.
Were you like last on 44?
Actually, I might have been second to last. I don't know. Everybody kept on looking at me like, what's that guy doing over there? Like, he's not doing very well. And I think I may have eked out a second to last place.
I don't remember anything about that game. Really, like the actual play. I remember being stuck. I remember the corner of the map I was stuck in. You were third, by the way.
Out of
what, how many people? Oh, no. What am I looking at here?
Jess
won. Len came in second.
I was last.
No. Randy came in first and then just second, Len third.
Yeah. No, I did end up coming in last, yeah. We were $70 apart.
Yes. Very close to last. I'm looking at the scores now.
Yeah. So yeah. So I didn't perform very well. I actually had a plan and it was just the rule was explained. I can't blame the rules or anything like that, but I didn't realize that I couldn't run a local train or whatever they're called in this game off board. And I had this whole early game plan where I was going to earn a lot of money quickly. And everybody's like, why are you starting that company? That's like the shittiest company to start. And I'm like, why? It's got such a good root. And they're like, no, it doesn't, because you can't actually run the route that you're trying to run. And I was like, damn it. So yeah, I ended up having a really slow start and just never was able to get that going.
Right. That was the beginning of like a 6.5 hour game too.
Yeah.
And you want to play it again. Wow. Good for you.
I think maybe that's part of it, because I want to not have a false start.
Yeah. Yeah. 44. There was a fair amount going on there that I was like trying to deal with and learn strategy as I went. And a couple people, I know Randy played before. I think Lynn had played one time before.
Yeah. I think that Jess and I all were new. And I think, yeah, Randy and Lynn had played it. So it was a good mix of new and old players.
Experience. Yeah, so 44 for you, huh? Or 80. Okay.
Yeah, or possibly, I don't know how similar 54 is to 44. I know they're in the same box. But if that's like got a similar feel to it and it's shorter, I'd also be very interested to play that soon after we get back together. So what about you?
So I'm looking at my shelf, and I think that the copies of 18 Max and Chesapeake are calling my name, but also 1844. I've just wanted to play that for a while. So one of those three, I'd be happy.
Wait, 1844?
No, sorry, 46.
Oh, I was like, damn, that's me too.
Not that one. No. No, I would play that. But yeah, something shorter, I think, is just generally what I want right now to kind of dip my toes back in.
Cruel.
Yeah,
we both want to play the same game.
It's rare. Yeah. So maybe that'll happen in the next couple months. God, I don't know how long this is going to go on for. Sorry, I don't want to bum everybody out.
Yeah, I've got my theories, but they're not happy theories.
They're not happy. Okay.
I mean, there's just, without a vaccine, there's no way we don't go through a second wave once people start going back out there. And I think that was always kind of what was going to happen. I don't think anybody really thought that we would be done.
Right. Oh, it's over.
Coronavirus by May or June or whatever, you know, like, I mean, there's just no way. There's no vaccine out there. People are just as likely to get it. But you know, we flattened the curve. I think we've done a really good job as a nation, as a world globally, at flattening the curve. So I think overall the impact is going to be a lot less, but it's, you know, this is going to be the long haul. So unfortunately.
Yep. Well,
we just we postponed our wedding. So
yeah,
my fiance and I are supposed to be getting married in October. And actually, we are still getting married in October. We're going to do a small ceremony with just our close friends and immediate family. We're going to keep it, you know, 25, 30 people, you know, backyard wedding. So Eric, you'll be there, obviously. And, you know, we'll socially distance everyone. You know, people won't stand right next to each other, and we'll make it work. And if there's anybody in that category of friends and family that can't make it, we'll, you know, set up a laptop or something and do a Zoom. It'll be weird, but we're still going to get married on that same date. And then a year after that, we're going to do sort of a vow renewal / the celebration that we wanted to do this year with everybody. So, yeah, you know, it was a tough decision, but I think it was the right decision. And I think it'll work out, and it'll be a good story to tell.
Yeah, I was going to say, you will have a very unique story to tell about your wedding, instead of like, yeah, I paid a lot of money and, I mean, maybe you still will, but, you know, like, we went and had a wedding and it was great and here's all the pictures and stuff. And it's like, well, we got married right when COVID struck and had all this crazy shit going on. And so I'm, you know, proud of you for making a good decision, I think, and that a tough one. So
thanks.
Now the world knows that I feel that way. Well, I guess we're kind of running out of stuff to talk about train game wise.
One might say we're running out of track.
Oh no. So punny. But we wanted to check in, say, hey y'all, hope everyone's doing well, staying safe. Unfortunately, staying inside. And yeah, hope that this all comes to a conclusion soon, and that we will get to sit down across the table from some of you to play train games with soon.
Maybe wearing face masks, but still.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
One last thing. I just feel like we should thank everybody that's continued to support us. I know that we haven't really been putting out a lot of content, and people's job situations are in flux and everything. And to those of you that have been able to continue to support the show, we really appreciate it. You know, we're not going anywhere. We've had a little bit of a slowdown, but we're still going to be, you know, we're still saving up for new audio equipment, and we're going to get right back to the live streams as soon as we can. So thank you for everybody that's continued to support us. And those of you that can't support us at any time during this, we totally understand. And, you know, that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, it's really cool that everyone's continued to support the show. And we are very close to upgrading to a cool mixer board and getting some lapel mics for our stream. So audio improvements will be coming shortly after we get back on the YouTubes.
I didn't hear what Eric said except for a couple words. I think what he was talking about was our lapel mics that we've gotten three of them, and we're going to get a couple more, and we're going to order a audio mixer. And so all those are to come, and will greatly improve the live streaming when we get back to it.
Okay. Well, no, I have a train fact.
Oh yeah. Let's hear it. I've been waiting for this for months.
I'm sure you have. It's short. It's not as crazy and long as the last one. Yeah. So in 1920, Henry Ford purchased the Detroit, Toledo, and Ironton Railroad. So he had his own railroad company, which he used to haul cargo to his factories near Detroit to make Ford automobiles. And he wanted to electrify the whole line and then connect to another railroad, which was also electrified, the Virginian. But he electrified like the entire his line. And then when they kind of got to the Virginian, they realized that they electrified them at different rates, 22 kilovolt versus 11 kilovolt AC. And so they couldn't like interoperate. And this seems to be a continuing theme in 18 and 1900s train stuff, where they like plan something and then get a long way and then they had some basic mishap. So that's fun. And the concrete canary masts for the electric service survived for decades after the de-electrification, as it was deemed too expensive to demolish them, and some remain today. And then after being fed up with the government regulations, he sold the railroad to a subsidiary of the Pennsylvania Railroad for over six times what he bought it for. So he made out okay.
Yeah, I'd say he did all right.
Yeah, so that's my train fact. Nice. Henry Ford.
That was very short and succinct.
Yeah, I think I didn't check this. I meant to. I think Henry Ford, and I know at least some other notables, like owned their own like rail car to travel. And they had, instead of a private jet, they would have a private train car that they would just keep. And they would get in that and they'd hook it up to, you know, the plebeian cars and travel in class and no one could get in.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. I wish I had one of those.
Very practical on this day and age.
All right. Well, everybody should continue to, you know, run trains, pay divs, electronically distanced and all that. And we hope to see and hear from you soon. Train Shuffling is brought to you by Midgard Hobbies and Games in Derry, New Hampshire, our friendly local game store. Next, we'd like to thank Luxury Playstyle, maker of fine metal gaming accessories. Visit luxplay.com and use promo code LUXINFORMANT for 15% off. And most importantly, we'd like to thank our lovely patrons for their support. We're super excited that you choose to support us. Your contributions help improve our live streams and bring you better content. If you'd like to buy a few shares of Train Shuffling, you can do so at patreon.com/meekinformant.